Just turn those on, please. Make sure they're all on. There you go. Perfect. Yay. So anyway, this season, I said to my wife today, I said, hey, thank God Elul is over. Oh. Yeah, who said that? Raise your hand. Amen. I know, huh? But for some people, it still hasn't stopped yet. Okay? For some people, it hasn't stopped yet. So guess what? For those of us who it has stopped, help those who it hasn't stopped for yet. Seriously. Ask God who to minister to, who to encourage. Okay? Because the understanding is on Rosh Hashanah tonight, starting last night to now, spiritually, it's considered the book of life is opened. And during these next 10 days, the 10 days of awe, of fear, of focusing on God and seeing Him for who He is, it's to bring us closer to Him and sometimes to deal with things that are inside of us that still aren't done yet, even though Elul stopped. Isn't it funny how broken things in us don't always listen to a timetable or a clock? They just kind of do their own thing sometimes. But God promises to be close in this season, to draw near to us. Because the book of life is open now. And then on Yom Kippur, it's closed and sealed for the rest of the year. So guess what? If you're repentant, it's a day of atonement. It's a day of covering. God covers your sins and your brokenness. But if we're not repentant, it becomes a day of judgment. Traditionally, one of the things that is read and even sung is Exodus 34. It was after the sin of the golden calf when God wanted to say, basically, all right, get out of the way. I'll just wipe them all out and I'll start over with you, Moses. And Moses wouldn't do that, would he? Moses interceded for them. But he did have to strike down. He said, the Levites who had not partaken in the sin of the golden calf, he said, strap on your swords. It's time for some killing. And not in a fun way. Somebody's beeping. I'm going to pause right now. You got it? Thank you. Because there was some judgment that was needed. But what did Moses have to do? Okay, that's it. He broke the tablets. That was it. You took care of business. No, he had to go back up the mountain and go deal with God. Exodus 34, verse 1. He's on the mountain. Adonai came to Moshe. Cut yourself two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will inscribe on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready by morning. In the morning, you are to ascend Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on top of the mountain. No one is to come up with you, and no one is to be seen anywhere on the mountain. Don't even let the flocks or herds feed in front of this mountain. Moshe cut two stone tablets like the first. Then he got up early in the morning, and with the two stone tablets in his hands, ascended Mount Sinai, as Adonai had ordered him to do. I bet you he was up a little bit earlier than normal, huh? I'd be like, God said sunrise, I'm going to be up while it's still dark. Adonai descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and pronounced the name, and this says of Adonai, but it's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahuwah, Yahuweh, however the pronouncement is. But the reason we start, and I'm going to recite this for you, the reason we recite this now on Rosh Hashanah, because this is the time when we judge ourselves. So when the day of judgment comes with God, we've already taken care of business, and He covers us. But these words here that are coming next is to remind us the sin of the golden calf just took place, and God is here on the mountain being merciful. And He's revealing, guys, Moses wants him, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you. Remember what God said? You can't see my face. It'll kill you. But I'll put you in this cleft of the rock. I'll place my hand over you. I will pass by, and you can see the back of me. And as he did that to Moses, he proclaimed these words. Adonai passed before him and proclaimed, Yahuwah, Yahuwah is God, merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth, showing grace to the thousandth generation, forgiving offenses, crimes, and sins, yet not exonerating the guilty, but causing the negative effects of the parents' offenses to be experienced by their children and grandchildren, and even by the third and fourth generations. At once Moshe bowed his head to the ground, prostrated himself, and said, If I have now find favor in your view, Yahuwah, then please let Yahuwah go with us, even though they are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our offenses and our sin, and take us as your possession. He said, Here, I am making a covenant in front of all your people. This is God speaking. I will do wonders such as have not been created anywhere on earth or in any nation. All the people around you will see the work of Yahuwah. What I am going to do through you will be awesome. We recite this now because this is supposed to be our focus in these days of awe at Rosh Hashanah and up to Yom Kippur. This is who God really is. And there are scads of teaching on these verses alone. Rabbi David Foreman does a beautiful teaching on this. And one thing he talks about, and he delineates even the words, if you were to go in just to the name of God alone, we could do a whole teaching on that. But even what it's showing God as the creator, showing God as close to us and merciful and graceful, showing God as the judge, showing God as our groom to his bride, to his wife. All those things, just in the two names. Why did God repeat his name twice? Why? That's one view, and that would be correct. But is it just that? What is he trying to say? I think on one level, God is revealing. He said, reveal yourself to me. He did. Here is my personal name. Not once, but twice. Did you catch it the first time? Here it is again. Pay attention to it. I'm sure spiritually there are things going on here that would be difficult to delve into. We'd have to have God reveal himself and proclaim his name in our midst to start to realize. But not only that, Rabbi David Foreman gives a teaching on this, like I said, that's beautiful, but he talks about this and he says, you know what? God is revealing himself here like a parent or a groom. He's revealing himself like a parent. When a child does something wrong, is that it? Game over? You punish him for it and you cast him out? Or your bride? Do you do that? Should you? No. What are you supposed to be doing? You go, all right, I understand there was a mistake. But like a father with their child, or a mother with their child, they do something wrong, but then they can walk by you. Remember when they were so little? They can walk by and you still smile at them. You still feel this love for them. That's what God is trying to show here. He's going, even though you deserve, your people deserve death, this is who I am. Yeah, the guilty will be punished, but what does he say? I'm merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace and truth. Even the words here, you know what's interesting? The word for compassionate, merciful, and compassionate, what are the words there? In Hebrew, is related and is the root word for womb. God is saying to be compassionate. The understanding is like a mother carrying a child in her womb. She takes care of the very body. It's like God saying, I am like a woman that way, in that I birthed you. It's like you were in my womb. I take care of you that way. That's how much I love you. So I can't throw you away as if you're nothing. That's what God is. He's revealing himself and his heart right here. What do we do? What do we do with life around us and circumstances around us don't seem to show this? What do we do? Give me some suggestions. What do we do? I'm sorry? Change what? What if you can't? Okay, that seems simple. So what if you pray and it still doesn't change? Persevere. Fast. What's going on? Somebody else is saying something? So even though life is looking like God might be against us, what do we do? What does that mean? But what does that mean to be still? To shut all this down? What if your heart's rebelling? What if your heart's working against you? What if you're seeing violations done to you and it's destroying you? What do you do? Those all sound like nice things. But I'm going to offer something. I think, get low. Moses got low. I'm going to offer something. You know, sometimes words are appropriate. Sometimes actions are appropriate. But guess what? Sometimes, and we don't realize it, because circumstances look like life and everything's working against us. This I know. Sometimes in hindsight, sometimes in the circumstances that I've faced too. Sometimes God doesn't say anything and he just holds us. He just draws near and puts his arm around us. And we don't realize it. We don't. But that's sometimes why he's silent too. Because sometimes words aren't enough. Have you ever been with someone in grief? Should we talk? Should we try to explain why a loved one passed? No, what do? Just be near and be silent. Sometimes God does that too. And sometimes you're all right. There are things sometimes that we can do that might be effective. But one thing, perseverance. Don't stop, don't give up. Even if you have to be still and stop. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sometimes that's all you can do. And it seems like not enough. But don't give up. Rosh Hashanah, and I've done this a lot. When I don't think, God, what am I, things are going crazy. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. But you know what? Just in case, I'm going to come to you anyway. I'm going to come to you in repentance. I'm going to come to you and ask forgiveness. And I want to remind you, I teach this, since Sarah brought this to me years ago, I teach this every year at Rosh Hashanah, how to forgive. There's four levels of repentance. In the ancient Jewish book, the Book of Beliefs and Opinions by the Sa'adi Gaon, and Gaon means genius or head of a school, it was written in the 900s, 200 years before the renowned Jewish scholar Maimonides, which was in the 1100s. It's from an old Jewish document found from the Middle Ages. It was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And it talks about four levels of repentance. Now, does this sound familiar? Aren't there four levels of covenant? The three, and then all three together is the fourth. So you have blood, salt, sandal, servanthood, friendship, inheritance, and then all those together is marriage. Well, I found it interesting that there are four levels of repentance too. The first, confession, admitting that you're wrong. Now you can admit in your heart, but if you've offended God or someone else, if you just keep it in your heart, is that good enough? If you have gone and harmed someone, should you not go to them and confess what you've realized here? I have done you harm. I have wronged you. Please forgive me. Do you understand what that does to someone who's been violated? Do you understand? Who here has been violated and had a person come to them and say they're sorry and they were wrong? How was it? Does it start healing? Does it bring restitution to a relationship? Start a process? because it doesn't stop there. Great, I've come to you. I'm sorry, I wronged you. But the next level, too, teshuva shel halev, the turning of the heart. That's the second level. You could admit you're wrong, but if you keep doing the same thing over and over, then it's useless. It's not true repentance. You have to turn your heart away from what you have been doing or what you've done and head in the other direction. Teshuva means repentance. Teshuva shel halev, turning of the heart. And then three, you've admitted you're wrong. You've turned your heart. Now you ask forgiveness. Ask. Do you realize what you're doing when you're in that place? You're putting yourself at somebody else's mercy. I was wrong. I have wronged you. I feel terrible. I will not do this again. Please, will you forgive me? You're at somebody else's mercy. Now, I have to cover this. What if they say, no, I won't. It was too much. What do you say? That's it? You're not forgiven? Not by them, but by God, yes. Now, if you can, perhaps you can help them, or maybe God needs to help them. But that's the key part. Now it's on them. The blood is off your hands if you do these things. But then, there's a fourth. Accepting responsibility if faced with the same sin again. Meaning, you don't repeat it. What if you've stolen from somebody? What does Torah say? Pay back twice what you took. If you took a dollar, you got to pay back $2. If you've taken $1 million, you are supposed to give them $2 million back. Whoa. So what if you've taken something that can't be given back? How about reputation? You know, this Saturday at service, I talked about slander and gossip. What happens if that's stolen or murdered? How do you murder if you've caused the death of a loved one accidentally? How can you give that back? You have to change your life and make your life one that will never go to that place again or even go close to it. That's how you show you're truly repentant. Without these four things, it's not true repentance. Questions, comments, rebuttals. We're all feeling convicted. I am. I am, seriously. I'm just going to end with this. On Rosh Hashanah, we're called to remember God as our King. The Hebraic understanding is that when Adam and Eve sinned, when they fell, they did so because they thought themselves to be master. They failed to recognize God as King. They confused the subjectivity of evil and deception with the objectivity of right and truth. They rejected God's commands and His leadership. Maimonides says concerning this day, Yom Teruah, awake, you sleepers, from your sleep, and ponder over your deeds. Remember your Creator and go back to Him in repentance. Be not of those who miss realities in their pursuit of shadows and waste their years in seeking after vain things which cannot profit or deliver. Look well to your souls and consider your acts. Forsake each of you his wrong ways and improper thoughts, and return to God so that He may have mercy upon you. Now's going to be the time that we blow the shofarim, the shofars, shofarot. I always forget which one it is. Im or ot, the shofars. When we do this, we're commanded on Rosh Hashanah to remember with the sound of the shofar. When we do this, I want you to close your eyes and listen and let God speak to you and remember, not only remember Scripture and even the 13 attributes of God that are listed there, but I want you to remember more personally the good things that God has done in your life. Even if there's only one, then that's what you focus on. They got the right idea. They got low. And so my point to you is this. As we do that, I want you to focus on God and your relationship with Him and remember. Amen? So if I could have the four guys, if you got your shofars. If I could have Daniel over to my right.